It was mind-blowing. Because that's exactly what happens when you step outside your comfort zone. You know that we all have comfort zones in our lives. They're like elastic bands that haven't been pulled. It's like a little circle. And then circumstances or situations come and stretch us. Or we get a vision that stretches us beyond our ability that we thought we had the provision for and the expertise for and the wherewithal to get the job done. And by just putting our faith out and saying, God, we're going to trust you for this, they saw a breakthrough. It was around 300,000 rand they had to raise to do this together. And God met every single cent of the budget. And over and above that, money cannot quantify what's actually taken place in people's lives because their comfort zones have been stretched. And you can never, once the mind and the soul has been stretched out of its what it thought was comfortable, it can never return back to that shape again. Thank God for vision stretching experiences in our life. Thank God that we've encouraged it many times from the pulpit and said, there's nothing like actually going into a foreign environment, whether it's Mozambique, whether it's Singapore, whether it's India. Thank you, Bill. That you have parts of your comfort zone stretched that never return back fully to what they were before. And I think for some of us that are over the age of 40, we can take a lot out of the book of this young people's DVD we saw this morning in terms of, are we willing to trust God beyond the natural? For some person, that might just be to trust God for a trip to Mozambique. For another person, that might just be to trust God for a breakthrough in their work situation. For another person, it might be stepping out in a relationship. Whatever it is, I believe this year, God has promises for you and me that we have to take hold of by faith. Hebrews 6 verse 12 says, can we have it up quickly? I'm getting preaching now. I'm sorry if you came to sing. In Hebrews 6 verse 12 it says, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what was promised. Amen? And we're not just talking here about a laziness that comes when you've been away on holiday for a few weeks. That's a good kind of laziness, amen? We need that kind of laziness. But not laziness as a lifestyle. Not laziness, you know, drive down your road. Mowed lawn. Must be your house. Mowed lawn. Now that's a different, we're not talking about that laziness. The Bible says a diligent man's hands will rule. So we're talking about a spiritual laziness that can creep in. When we stop trusting God for things that are beyond our reach. When we stop wanting to stretch and be expanded beyond what's comfortable. When we start going back into just a religious, nominal Christianity like these Hebrew believers that Paul's writing to here and saying, we do not want you to become lazy. Now if he said that, it means there's potential to become lazy. Bible says in Acts 2:42 that they devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to prayer, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread. They had to devote themselves. The human nature tendency, once the flesh feels lazy, if the spirit comes into agreement with that, then you're two-thirds lost. Because you spirit, body, soul. And if your soul comes into agreement with a lazy attitude, then your poor spirit is struggling against one-third against two-thirds. If you understand what I'm saying. But my desire, my heart's prayer for this year is that you'll take hold of the promises that God has for you. And how do you do that according to Hebrews 6 verse 12? Is first of all, don't be lazy. But secondly, imitate those who through faith and patience inherited the promises of God. Amen? I saw some faith being demonstrated on this DVD. I saw some patience being administered when these young folk went to one of the churches to minister last year with all their CDs and they're excited about their soundtracks and they went and sold 3 CDs. Do the sums. Doesn't knock a big chunk off the budget. But you've got to persist. You've got to keep going in God. It says, imitate the faith and patience of those who inherited the promises. What is God's promise for you this year? What has He said to you in your heart? This is what I have for you. We're not all doing a trip to Singapore. For some of you, that might just be in your marriage. For some of you, it's a stay-at-home mother with your children. For some of you, it's in your business or a new direction in your work line. But what is that promise for you? I can't answer that. I can't answer it for you. But I do know this, that God is good. That His character is good. And because His character is good, all His promises are good. So you just keep pursuing God, my friend. And as you pursue God, you will find, when you pursue His goodness starts to pursue you. And He will find you. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, no eye see, no ear has perceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But we have this revealed by the Spirit, who searches out the deep things of God. For who knows the thoughts of a man except the Spirit of the man? So also, who knows the deep things of God, but only the Spirit of God? And you have not received the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God, that you may know what God has freely given you. We got to get with the author of our dream. We got to get with the author of the promises of the Word of God. We got to get with the Bible says, no eyes even no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Oh, there you go. It's conditioned to love Him. Only when you love God will He fulfill His purposes for you. Now, I don't know if I read it like it. I read it like this. When we're just loving Jesus, which is the most natural thing for someone who's been born again to do. When you devote yourself to loving Him, when you devote your spiritual discipline to living in His presence, while you're doing that, the Spirit of God starts revealing things deep down inside of you that are rich in God's purposes and promises. And when you add faith to those, you draw them into the world that you're living in. Amen? This is not just a, well, whatever will be, will be. I'll just keep sailing along and somewhere I know God's purposes will be fulfilled. That's just like a ship without a rudder hoping it's going to be blown into the harbor somewhere. No. We are a people who are not lazy regarding the promises. We're imitating those who've taken hold of the promises. And we're saying, God, your thoughts for me are much higher than my thoughts. I want to get enough with you that I find out what your plan is. I know you're good. I don't know the details, but I know you're good. So if I pursue you and I stay in love with you and I follow your goodness will follow me and I will find the purposes for which you brought me into this life. I want to take hold in this generation. What God has got for me. So important. Imitate those. I mean, Hebrews 11 then goes into the whole, all the heroes of faith, you know. And as I read through them the other day, I noticed something. That they weren't all perfect. That there were some serious personality problems. Hello? If you did an audit on some of these guys, you're going to come out with lots of stuff. Yet they commended for their faith. So in the midst of all this struggling and striving and making mistakes and all that, at some point there was a breakthrough. I mean, Moses was just told to go and tap the rock. What does he do? He goes and smashes the rock. He was the first person to break the Ten Commandments as well. I mean, Abraham, he lets some other man take his wife to sleep with her because he's scared he might get killed if they find out he's his husband. I mean, this is a great guy. Let's run an audit through him. What about David? Not too perfect. I think we'll find some dirt on him. Rahab the prostitute, listed as one of the heroes of faith. Hello? I don't think we need to think too far along that line. You see, these weren't people who were perfect and had it all together. They had just some stage in their life. They said, I'm not going to just leave it to whatever will be. But they took hold of the promises of God. They found what He had called them for. And they applied. And what are those promises? If just three areas of promises. One, it's everything Jesus died to provide for you. Two, it's personal callings upon your life that are unique to you. And thirdly, it's a corporate sense of our togetherness, what God has promised us. Like we heard this morning through testimony, what God wants to do in this local church. I believe that. I believe God's got a purpose for this church. This was God's dream. This was God's vision. You're God's people. Amen? We've got to find out, Jesus, everything you died to provide was for me. What are those things? Because I want to take hold of them. It was salvation and the total forgiveness of sins. But most of us didn't live in the full rights of that promise. And we lived in like a half-baked forgiveness. But we've discovered that Jesus died for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And now we live in victory, in righteousness. And God hears our prayers because the Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. We're not trying to be righteous. We're living in Christ's righteousness. That's why our prayers are answered and we can be effective. But that's just one thing that Jesus died to provide that belongs to you. I don't think in the area of healing we've fully taken hold of the fact that by His stripes we healed. I don't think in terms of deliverance we've totally taken hold of what's ours. I don't think in the area of just having our needs met. You see, when we know what He promises, and He promised that if the Father up above can look after the birds and the grass, He can take care of your and my needs. And if we really get hold of that promise and add faith to it, because it says through faith and patience, perseverance, that took hold. So my desire this year for you, as your pastor, as one of the elders in the church, is what has God promised for you? I want to stand with you. I want to believe with you. That's personal, and then there's the collective. There's the corporate. So you see, my friends, what happened this morning has got everything to do with the life we call to live. It's a life of faith. It's a life of imitating those who went through hardship, went through disappointment. Joseph ended up in a pit. Paul and Silas ended up in a prison. Peter and the disciples were out at the sea and said, Lord, wake up, we're going to drown. And He said, you have little faith. It's examining the lives of people who've said, I know there's a promise out there for me. I know it's bigger than me. I know it's going to take more than just what I've got to take hold of it. But I want to take hold of that. Bible says, imitate those people. Lest you become lazy. Lest you fill yourself with apathy and just a kind of, well, I'm saved now, and when Jesus comes, it'll be great, but until then, I'm just going to hold the fort for He is coming. And that's not what we call to, church. There's much more exciting things. I want to correct the last statement on that DVD. Somewhere it was said that this was the most exciting thing that's ever going to happen in the lives of Fusion. I just want to tell you that was a very exciting thing. And it was a catalytic thing. But let me tell you, God's got much more. And it might not be getting on an aeroplane to go to Singapore. It's not just the glamorous things, my friends. It's when your faith is in a place where you can stand with someone and see them come through and be born again into the family of God. If you young people that we saw this morning would just radically impact five lives, souls that are in the kingdom of darkness to come into the kingdom of light, we will see revival. We will see revival. Because I tell you what, there's nothing better than getting fresh converts into the kingdom of God to see the move of God. He just loves it. Because they come in, they're not lazy, amen? They're excited, they're passionate. That's why we make altar calls most Sundays. We want to give people an opportunity to come into that place. I know as a young man, for me, it was almost an impossible situation I faced. I knew when I gave my life to Jesus that I was called to preach. But I was insecure. I had a bad self-image. At the age of 12, after never going to church my whole life, lying on my back in the garden, staring up, stoned out of my mind, I remember looking in the stars and suddenly thinking, there's a God. I remember it clearly like yesterday, running inside and saying to my mother, there's a God, there's a God. And she said, oh, don't be silly, go to your room and do your homework. We joked about it years later. Because for the next 8 years of my life, it was just a mishmash of court cases and drug charges and rehabilitation centers and running and hiking around the country, living like reprobates, sleeping on roofs, just total anarchy. And when I got saved, the second year I was working, I knew that God called me to preach. And I think a lot of people get saved and feel that because they're so excited. It took another 10 years, and thank God for the wisdom of leaders along the way who said, finish your apprenticeship. Finish what you're doing now. Do this properly. Prepare yourself. And then for the leaders who channeled us, when God spoke to us very clearly about ministry, to go and study. And we put aside 4 years of our lives. No resources, no backing, no finances. We went. And God was with us. He blessed us. In one holiday job, I paid up all my textbooks for 4 years. Janet got totally blessed in her job. I've told you that story a few times. We had our own home, 2 cars. God just put His favor on us. And at about the second, third year, there was a big ripple in the Bible college because people who'd come to study, and about 120 students, only about 3 or 4 had ended up in the ministry. So there was this ripple through the Bible college. What are we doing? We're wasting our lives. And we sat down one night and we said, we don't relate to this. Waiting and looking to a church to make an appointment for you. Looking to people to open a door and to give you a career. God, didn't God call us and tell us to come and prepare ourselves for the work for which He was calling us to? It was never an issue for us. And by God's grace, I remember when we finished our studies, Greg Haswell, ourselves, one or two others, had the wonderful privilege of being called. I thought I wanted to pinch myself. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven already. But it was another 10 years of being apprenticed on Ed Rabbit's team and on with Greg and Michelle until 1999, until we started preaching. As you do the sums, you work out the years on that. I know we never had the resources. I don't even think we had all the abilities, but I know that God called us and He said, "Don't be lazy." There's no hope for lazy people. There's hope for people who don't have resources. There's hope for people who maybe don't have enough self-confidence. There's hope for people who may be a little bit shy or whatever. But there's no hope for lazy people. Don't be lazy. But imitate those who through faith and patience and patience and patience will inherit what God has promised them and said He will do. What is God's purpose? What is His dream in your life? I really want to stand with you. And I'm not going to get to preach my sermon this morning because the young people took up the whole day. No, I'm kidding. Ronnie, where are you, buddy? We're going to finish with a song of praise at least. I really just feel to stir you up. Romans, can we have that verse up again? And I want to ask you, what has God called you to? What are His promises from His Word? Can we say it together? We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Now, none of us have arrived. All of us are in stages of going somewhere. We've all had short-term goals reached. We've all had short-term visions reached. But God's got more for us. Let's read it again. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You see, this is a we thing. We don't want you to be lazy. This is a corporate thing. We don't want you to be lazy. We don't want you to be lazy. We don't want you to be lazy. We don't want you to be lazy because our inheritance and the promises of God are interlocked and hinged in the body of Christ. And as you successful, we will rejoice. As you successful, we are successful. As you are successful, we are successful. We want you to find the purposes and promises of God and to be successful in them. And that's why we're saying, don't get lazy. Don't get too comfortable on your blessed assurance and wait until you see the white horse in the clouds. God's got a lot more for you to do. Don't look at your current circumstances. Don't look at your current bank balance. Don't look at the current obvious diverse situations. You might be in a pit, but there's a palace waiting for you. Amen. So what did this DVD have to do with the service this morning? A bunch of young people said, we're going to do something that God shows us. This is going to be the first of many things we're going to do. And we want to show some of the toppies that even though we don't have resources, they got the resources. We're going to trust God and break through in this thing. And we're not going to be lazy about it, but we're going to imitate, and then we're going to see God fulfill. Now, is there a problem with the microphone? Okay. Well, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 22, verse 3, 4 and 5, I think. Just put it up for us, Steve. From verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why aren't you close to... my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Verse 2. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am not silent. Verse 3. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. You see, whatever you're facing right now, it's too soon to stop at complaining. It's too soon to stop at negativity. We've got to press through and realize God is the praise of Israel. Just sitting on a holiday, a group of people sitting next to me at a table, and I heard this overheard the conversation while I was reading. And the one was telling about how the gallstones had been caught between the this and the that, and they had to have this treatment and that treatment. Then the other one said, well, that's nothing. My arthritis, what happened? I had to go do this. Then the other one said, yeah, but that's nothing. You know, my migraines are like at a level 10, and I had to go for this and that. And for me, for a moment, it sounded like they were trying to outdo each other. It's like they were trying to, that's nothing. Let me show you my scars. I was listening to this conversation. I thought, I wonder in the church if we get like that. Because our altitude can never go higher than our attitude. Or put said differently, we can never rise above our confession. You see, we can't be saying we believe in God for one thing, but we're always talking about how rotten the circumstances are, how difficult it is, how sick we are, how negative this is. And we can't get a place where we rise up above the words that are coming out of our mouth. Because the Bible says the power of life and death is how we speak. If we speak blessing over the business and we look for the small things to be thankful for, the fact that I had petrol to get to work this morning, and I give God thanks for that thing. I give thanks for the fact that I had dry blankets last night when thousands have been misplaced and are in terrible situations. Or I thank God that I had clean drinking water this morning, and I find the little things to start blessing Him and praising Him and thanking Him. David in Psalm 22 says, I felt forsaken. I felt rejected. I said, God, where are you? I've been groaning. But then I remembered that you are the praise of Israel. You are the great God. And He brings Himself into raising His confession and speaking blessing and healing and love and joy and goodness. I want to stand with you this year. I want to see what God has promised you come to pass. But you're going to have to cooperate with God. You're going to have to find out what the secret things are. You're going to have to get an appetite for His Word to find out what His covenant is. You're going to have to get serious about devoting yourself to the things that give you a strong spirit. Nothing wrong with your spirit. If you never read your Bible, when a church again, your spirit would not be contaminated. But if you want to grow in your spirit, you got to grow in faith. You got to grow in the things that grow your faith. As you heard James say this morning, that our faith is something that grows. Amen? Amen? Let's stand up together this morning. We're going to just make through these words. We're not having a sing-song. We're having a declaration through these words of the greatness, the goodness of our God. Now we're going to take up the offering at the same time while we're doing this. That's part of our declaration of praise. Amen? Thank you for the gospel, Lord. Thank you that you're going to impact many with this gospel in Jesus' name. We worship you. Amen.
The Lord reigns, and the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, and the people clap their hands. The angels shout, and demons come to dance. To celebrate, He reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout, You reign, You reign, You reign, forever King of all. You forever King of all. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the people shout. You reign in righteousness. Let the heavens be guided, the earth be joined. The Lord reigns, the people clap their hands. The angels shout, the demons come to dance. To celebrate, He reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout, as You reign, You reign, You reign, forever King of all. Nations rage when the King is on His throne. Now and forever You will reign. Let all the people sing. Let all the people sing of Your awesome power and glory. Let darkness tremble at Your name. Why do the nations rage when the King is on His throne? The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout that You reign, that You reign, that You reign, forever King of all. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout that You reign, yes You reign, You reign, forever King of all. Oh Lord. Forever King of all. Forever King of all. All creation cries to You, worshiping in spirit and in truth. Glory to the faithful one, Jesus Christ, God's Son. All creation gives You praise. You alone are truly great. You alone are God who reigns for eternity. Yeah, yeah. And God is great, and His praise fills the earth, fills the heavens, and Your name will be praised to all the world. sing His praise, all the earth, all the heavens, because we're living for the glory of Your name, the glory of Your name. For the glory of Your name.
The Word of God says that the kingdom of God is at hand. And I just saw Jesus' hand, just personally, just in your lives, that Jesus' hand is so close. It is so close. The kingdom of God is so, so close, guys. And it's just this lifting of a hand. It's that faith action that says, I feel stupid lifting my hand, but I'm going to lift my hand because I know that when I lift my hand is going to go into His hand. And when my hand is in His hand, there is nothing but love and goodness and mercy and blessing and favor and abundance and peace and joy and hope and just beauty in your lives. And so I just want to encourage you that by faith now, just lift your hand for whatever situation you're in and say, Jesus, your kingdom is at hand, and I'm reaching out by faith. I'm activating my faith to pull heaven into my circumstance, into my home, into my family, into my business, into my finances, into my healing. In Jesus' mighty name, I praise You, Jesus. Thank You.
Holy is the Lord, the whole earth sing, the whole earth sing. Holy is the Lord, the whole earth sing. Holy is the Lord, the whole earth sings, the whole earth sings.
You are holy, Lord.
Holy is the Lord, the whole earth sings, the whole earth sings.
You are holy, Lord.
Holy is the Lord.
The
whole earth sings, the whole earth sings.
Holy Lord,
holy is the Lord. The whole earth sings, the whole earth sings.
God is great, and His praise fills the earth, fills the heavens, and Your name will be praised through all the world. And God is great, sing His praise on the earth, on the heavens, because we're living for the glory of Your name. Because we're living for the glory of Your name. Because we're living for the glory of Your name.
Just while the music's playing in the background, just with your eyes closed before the Lord, I just feel that there's just a moment in people's lives right now where there's just been hopelessness, and you felt, my God, why have You forsaken me? Where are You? My groaning. The Bible says, without a vision, people perish. Without vision, my people cast off restraint. They say sometimes the worst place in life is when you reach a goal, if there's nothing beyond that. And if you feel like you've kind of reached some goals in your life, you could be in a very dangerous place, because without renewed and refreshed purpose, I believe there's just there are new ideas for businessmen. I really do. I believe some have been in a certain way a long time, and they're just kind of plotting it out, and the season has changed. And you're saying, but what now? And God says, all things are possible with me. And there's just some creative ideas and some out of the box thinking that needs to happen. It's that urgent, it's that desperate. But those thoughts are known by the Spirit of God, who knows the deep thoughts that God has concerning you. And although you can't imagine it with your limited five sense realm, you've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God. And right now, Holy Spirit, would you come and just breathe life to dead vision. Breathe life to new vision. Breathe life over this church's vision. I feel to say to some men right now, you've got to also learn to give your life for someone else's vision. You've also got to give your life for the corporate vision. And in doing that, what you sow, you reap. What you give out, you receive. There's a reciprocal flow. It's not just about you and your vision. It's about Him and His vision. And part of that vision is His church. Part of that vision is the part you play. And then personally, that vision is, what have you been called to do? So right now, Spirit of God, we invite you. From our belly, rivers of living water flow. Rivers of creativity, rivers of color, river of new sounds, new music, new art, new engineering, new medicine, new accounting, thinking, new technology, new ideas, new programs, new songs, let's get songs. New songs, new prophetic flows, new gifts. You see, don't become dammed up. Don't become stale. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Let Him bring new things to you. New vision. New excitement. Even if it's just one day at a time. Maybe you say, all I can do is have enough vision for tomorrow. That's fine. That's all you need. And right now, Spirit of God, would you just come and blow upon that seed in our hearts.
Just got a picture of the wells, and I just felt that the wells are covered up. We've just covered up the wells, the living wells that are supposed to be inside of us, that are overflowing, and the things of life and things that have happened to us, and those wells have been covered up. And I just felt God, we just need to start digging them out again and just say no, this is rubbish, the sand, this isn't what we want. We want the living waters to flow through us. And I just felt that God just saying, I have them, they're there, the wells are planted in you, they haven't disappeared. They have just been covered up.
As He started sharing that vision, the word offenses came to mind. an offense will choke out the flow of life. And God loves you too much to leave you that way. So His word says to you today, guard your heart against offense, because it blocks and caps the well of life. Guard your heart from being offended. Deal with it quickly. If it means going to the person, if it means just speaking it out in private, if it means just whatever it takes, don't get offended. Jesus says, blessed is he who does not become offended, scandalized, entrapped. Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait.
I'd just like to read Romans 10 from verse 4, and I really believe it's apt in what the Lord is saying to us right now. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses described it this way: the righteousness that is by the law, the man who does these things will live by them. But the righteous shall, that is by faith, says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Don't despise a day of small beginnings. Don't look at the little things of the presence and say, and compare it to what you heard this morning. Start where you are. It might just be for this week that you see something that is stretching out of your comfort zone. But usually when God speaks to us about something he has for our life, it's bigger than what we can accomplish. Like someone said, if it's not, then maybe it's not God, because God does seem to take us beyond and outside of our little world. But it starts with the little things. And this morning, would you just allow that seed of faith, that mustard moving seed of faith, to be planted in your life? That's all it's going to take to speak to that mountain. That's all it's going to take, is when you know that God's grace has provided for something in your life. All it takes is the smallest kind of faith to take hold of it for your life. So right now, Lord, I just pray for those mustard seeds of faith. Just mustard seeds of faith. Just sprinkled out. Not by might, nor by power, not by our cleverness or our envisioning, not by soul power or mind power, but by the Spirit of God, a seed of faith. Just as the smallest seed that they could physically touch, that small, given to your people, Lord. We ask. Thank you, Father.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him, a sense of heaven's mercy.
it. The question to you today is, how hungry, church, how hungry are you? Because God is talking to you. He is calling this church to do great and marvelous things, because that is what He has placed us here for. The world is in need. There are people out there that are dying. There are people out there that are poor and hungry. There are people out there that are caught in addictions, of drug abuse, of alcoholism. This is where it changes people. This is where your hunger goes before God. You do not get filled on Sunday just to be filled for yourself. And you do not get filled on Sunday simply to hold a chair and come next week and be filled again. It is your taking violently, getting on your knees before God this week, every day, saying, Father, use me, because God will use you. I do not care anything about what you are thinking you do not have. See, God has said He has filled you with all spiritual gifts. He has given it to you. You need to lay claim of it. If God has said it, He said it. Someone tried to kill me in a dream last night, and all that God kept saying to me is that my kingdom is forcefully advancing and violent men lay hold of it. Do not be afraid of what will come against you. If you are standing here today, you are going to get arrows in your back if you will stand for the King of Kings. But do not be afraid, because He says He is your shield. He is the lifter of your head. Do not be afraid for anything that God is going to be doing and using through you. He will lift you up. He will give you strength. He will fill you with everything you need.
Praise God. Feels like we've had church this morning. I want to continue over the next week or weeks speaking about practically how do we take hold of the promises of God through faith and through the prayer of faith to do it correctly, as the scripture shows us. But we're going to be as pastors away for a couple of days this week, and part of what we're going to do is just take hold through the prayer of faith for many families in the church that are going through difficult times, going through some challenging times, needing some breakthrough. And we just want to put our faith out together with you as we pray. Folks just needing healing in their family circle. Just raise your hand right now. People needing healing in their family circles right now. We're going to join our faith together with you. I don't even feel to pray right now, but you say, we want to pray into this area. We want to see the power of God break through in the physical. There's been too much nonsense going around in the area of health. Financial breakthrough. Business, just personal finances. Raise your hand. Folk here, elders, just, I mean, look around and just see. There's so many folk who are needing wisdom and guidance and breakthrough. And we want to stand with you and take hold of the promise of God that He will abundantly supply all your needs, and that you will have enough on every occasion to be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity, praise will come to God. If there's areas of conflict in relationships in your family, children to parents, between parents, maybe other family members around you that aren't even here, where we need breakthrough relationally, just raise your hands. Lord, we want to see breakthrough in relationships this year. We want to see breakthrough parents and children, between parents, saved and unsaved. And whatever you put your hand up here for this morning, God sees. Now, you don't even have to tell anybody, because your Father knows. And if you'll stand in agreement with us as we pray for you, let's trust the beginnings of breakthrough in that situation. So we will be away a few days this week, but hopefully back with just some direction in God in terms of taking hold of the promises, imitating those who through faith and patience have inherited what God has. Amen. God bless you. James Preston will be preaching tonight, bringing some of the fire back with the young folk. So if you can pause your TV.